Go to Philippians chapter 3. And while you're going there, the verse 1. I'm just going to read you something from somewhere else, okay? While you're getting there. It's Revelations. Around chapter 20. And don't go there. But it says, I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away. Talking about the Most High God. Can you imagine heaven and the heavens fleeing away at the sight of, because the Bible says nobody's looked on the face of God because you couldn't live. So that kind of glory, the heavens even run away from that kind of glory. Is that the awesomeness and the holiness of God, you know? And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and the books were opened. So God keeps perfect track of everything that happens in your life. Because it says there's books. We always think of the book of life, but there's books that were open. Probably books of your deeds in school, books of, I don't know how, I'm sure he's got it all categorized real good. But books are open. And it said the dead stood before Christ, right? Who are the dead? The walking dead? Who's he talking about? The dead. That's a good example, isn't it? You know, I don't watch that crap because that's what it is, and you'll get fear and all kinds of craziness on you if you watch stuff like that. But the dead, the zombie, the dead, are their bodies are somewhat, I guess, alive, but they have no soul, they have no spirit, and it's kind of like unbelievers. They're dead, but yet their bodies are alive. Does that make sense? The flesh is alive, but the spirit's dead. So the dead, small and great, stand before God, and books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. So, everybody that says, well, I'm a pretty good person. Well, I done this, and I did this charity, and I gave money to this, and I did this, and I did that. They will be judged out of the books. I'm glad I don't have to stand before God and be judged out of the books. Does that make sense? So the books were open, and every man was judged to what was written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead who were in them, and they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So there's the books. And for those that choose not to embrace Jesus and embrace his sacrifice will be judged out of the books of what they did in their life. Praise the Lord. And everybody that says, I'm a pretty good person, I'll get in. God, they'll stand before God, and they'll get to say, I'm a pretty good person, I should get in. No, I'm guilty. I'm guilty, I'm guilty, I'm guilty, I'm guilty, I'm guilty, I'm guilty. And only those written in the book of life will go to heaven. And we'll be judged as believers. You'll be judged too. There'll be a judgment seat for the righteous too. And the Bible says that God Himself will dry the tears from your eyes because of all the things you could have done for God after you believed, but you chose to be swayed by other things, you know. So God's a good God. God is a righteous God. God is a just God, isn't He? It's like, Jamie, if somebody came and kidnapped Jacob, and I'm pleased, this is not to paint a morbid picture, kidnapped your son and did horrible things to him and ended up taking his life, you would, in the court, you would demand justice, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you? If you didn't get to this man before he got to court, you would demand justice, right? Would y'all demand justice if this happened to your child? Really? You'd say, I want to see justice done. Well, see, God is a just God. God is a holy God, and He must punish sin. This is Christianity 101, really. He must punish sin, right? For God so loved you. Say, for God's soul, put your name in there. For God so loved. Say it. For God so loved. Come on, guys, you're rumbling. For God so loved. Yes. Say your first, middle, and last name. For God so loved. Now let's put our address in there. For God so loved, Mark Stephen Avery, 11591 Lawson Road, Pekin, Indiana, 47165. That He gave. Wasn't kidnapped, wasn't abused, wasn't murdered. He freely gave His Son. The Bible says, for a righteous man, you might die. Mike would probably die. I bet Mike Mosier would die for his wife. He would die for his children. No doubt in my mind. Most of y'all would die for your children. I believe that with all my heart. But would you die for some scumbag that just took out your son or your daughter? When we were yet sinners, something we don't use anymore. Now it's called choices and mistakes. I made a bad choice. I killed somebody today. I made a bad choice. I molested a child today. No, it's not a bad choice, it's sin. And we are sinners. For God so loved, try your name, full name, one more time, and address, really, out loud, passionately. For God so loved. He knows your address, right? He knows when you're bad or good. He knows when you're asleep. He knows when you're awake. He knows when you've been bad or good, so be good for goodness sake. You better watch out. Better not pout. You better not cry. I'm telling you why. Jesus Christ is about to break the eastern sky. And you won't get in by being good. And I'm not saying that. I think that's what that song was written. I think it was kind of like veiled, you know, or something. Anyway, for God so loved, I won't make you fill in the address again. For God so loved me. For God so loved Justin. For God so loved Elizabeth. For God so loved Andrea. For God so loved everybody in this room, everybody in this world, everybody that breathes, everybody that's called a human being. For God so loved us so much that He gave. Not because you were righteous, not because you deserved it, but because He loved you. You got to go all the way back. For God so loved that he gave. Love gives. Hate takes. God gives. Love gives. He loved us so much that he gave his only begotten son. Somebody did that previous to that in the Bible, didn't they? His name was Abraham. And you know, that's all he wants from you, what he wanted from Abraham. Everything. He wants everything, praise God, because he can turn your life around. He can turn your sin, your mistakes, your shortcomings, and he can turn it around and use it for his glory, can't he? This young lady's got a brand new countenance. I'm not picking on you, but she does. First time you come in here, you was hurting. You was hurting. You was under stress. You was under, I don't know what you, what were you feeling?
Pain and misery and hopeless and doubt, fear, everything, anxiety, wow. Stress.
What do you feel now?
Released, free, loved, hopeful.
And this has only been like, what, four or five weeks?
Yeah.
Something like that. Mm-hmm. Gonna get baptized. You still are. Next Sunday, praise God. Yeah. And praise the Lord. We pray for Alan right now. Pray for Alan right now, Jesus. He's having a struggle right now. Nothing personal. He's having a struggle. You know, the enemy's trying to press him down. But God, we pray for a clear mind. We pray for a sound mind. We come against depression and oppression in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you for life and life abundantly right now, God. I thank you that Alan and Jamie and their family will be saved, delivered, and free in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, God. Lord, give him peace. God, just rain peace down on Alan right now. Because you love him. And we love him. Praise the Lord. So God so loved Jamie and Alan and Holly that he gave his only begotten son so that if we would just what? Believe. Trust in, adhere to, and follow. Is that what that means? Look it up in the Amplified Bible. Look it up in the Strong's. That's what it means. He gave everything, which is all the glory and the goodness of heaven. He gave all of that away. He gave up his right to be king in heaven, to come here and suffer and die and be tempted like you and I, yet without sin. Salvation is free. So for God, so here's the modern church. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son so that everybody will be saved. Everybody will go to heaven. No, everybody's not going to heaven. Buddhists aren't going to heaven today. Muslims aren't going to heaven today. Anybody that has not confessed Jesus and embraced him and taken his blood on their sins is not going to heaven. It is conditional. Everybody says the gospel is unconditional. No, it's conditional. He gave everything, and all he wants is your all. All he wants is your life. And that's not performance-based either, by the way. That's not what I'm saying. He gave it all so he could have you. He loved you in spite of who you were. He loved you when you were in sin. I don't know what kind of sin you were in. Doesn't matter. He loved Justin when he was in sin. And that's good news. God is honored when you tell people that Jesus loves you and God has a plan for your life. God is honored by that because that's just speaking life and truth to them. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whoever believeth, trust in, follow, and cleave to him will not perish. Perish means eternal punishment in hell, is what that means. Will not perish, will have eternal life. For God sent not his Son into the world. See, nobody memorizes this. You need to memorize that whole mix right there. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved, that would have a chance to be saved, that could get a reprieve right before they pull the switch on the electric chair. You ever seen a movie where somebody's, they're getting ready to pull, well, I don't guess they use electric chairs anymore. Whatever they do, they're just getting ready to pull that handle, and it's like, ring, ring, ring. The governor says, a stay of execution. But God doesn't give you a stay of execution. He takes your record, and he rips it out, and he said, this man is forgiven. This man has no wrong against him. This man is free. Let him go, let him go, let him go, let him go, let him go. I paid the price for him. And it honors him, praise God, it honors him when we receive salvation. It honors him. Oh, Lord, it honors him. Think how he must feel when people... No, I don't need that. No, I don't want your sacrifice. No, 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 no. And spit in his face. And when we read, how it dishonors God, when we read the Word of God and we think somehow it's not for us. We think some promises are just, no, you don't understand, God, what I've been through. You don't, oh, I think he understands everything you've been through. He was rejected by men. He was whipped and beaten, and he was innocent. God can deliver you from anything. Anything. This was supposed to be for KCIW tonight. And it may be. And I've got some other stuff I was going to tell y'all. But you know what? You need to get on the ground floor again. You need to get and be thankful for where you... Consider the wonders of the Lord. Consider the wonders of the Lord. Consider wanting the presence of Jesus as much as you wanted whatever drug you were going after, and you're willing to tear up $25,000 trucks to get it. Man, that's sold out. You were sold out. You know that? You were sold out. Yes, he does. Yes, he does. Well, praise the Lord. So we know what salvation is, right?
Yeah, I already knew that. Heck, I didn't need that.
Maybe you did. Maybe you needed to remember what you were. There's no condemnation, praise God, in those who are in Christ Jesus who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. Praise God. Don't forget who you were. He forgot who you were. But don't you forget what he delivered you out of. What did he deliver you from, Nina? I know you never sinned. What did he deliver you from? Depression. Is depression a sin? Of course it is. Because he's made a way to deliver us from that, right? And when we don't embrace what he's given, it's like, why don't you want my gifts, man? Aren't they good enough for you? What did he deliver you from, Mary? Lots of stuff. Come on, give me one. The kids aren't here. Give me one. Yourself? Partying? Partying spirit? What's partying? Living for fun and pleasure. Wow, that's a big one. What about you, Opal? Way back. How long you been walking with Jesus? Now, I'm not trying to embarrass nobody, really. Some things are private just between you and God. Was there anything that had a hold of you at one time? Want to share one? No? Okay. Usual, fornication, living for ourselves. Fear of hell because word curses that were spoke on you. Wow. Wow. About you, Mike? You've been a good boy for a long time. I'll let you pause and say law on that. Yes. Alcohol, tobacco. Mouth. This is Mike, not Jenny. But probably. Angry. How many of y'all got anger? Got delivered from anger. How many still get stirred up on when you're driving sometimes, man? Can come back on you, can't it? Especially this time of year. What were you going to say?
I was going to say, God delivered me from rebellion.
Rebellion. Deliverance from rebellion. What's rebellion? Doing things your own way. And you know, sometimes the church, even in the church, the statement will come out, well, I'm just stubborn like that. That's not always a good trait. I think you could reword that probably, but I think a lot of people know more than their parents.
Yeah.
Well, rebellion, you know, and if you go in the Bible, it says rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Because witchcraft and Satanism are just taking rebellion out to the nth degree, isn't it? So let me read a little bit more and I'll quit. I don't even think we'll read what I told you to turn to. Maybe next week, maybe not. Maybe so, maybe no. Then death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. I'll tell you what, let's go. Where did I tell y'all to go? Philippians? This is like instructions on how to live right for Jesus, God. He's given us weapons. He's given his word to show us how to live, hasn't he? And I'm just going to read a few verses here, and then we're going to pray because I believe there's people here today that need a fresh touch from God, and there's people that need to be physically healed this morning. Finally, brethren, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the mutilation. Beware of dogs, that's people living party lifestyle sin, just people outside the kingdom of God. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the mutilation. Mutilation were people that would cut themselves and punish themselves and whip themselves and beat themselves so that they could be pleasing to God. God says, no, that's cultish. That's not right. Even in the church, I think there was people that, what they call flagellate, they would call beating themselves with a whip until they bled. God says, no, I took the punishment for you. That's blasphemous, you know. We are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in what? The flesh. Though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone thinks he has confidence in the flesh, I more so. I was circumcised the eighth day, the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law. I was blameless, and I put a few words in there, but he was blameless. But what things, this is powerful, what things were gained to me, and we just gave some testimonies, Mike and Jenny and Opal and whoever, Nina, whoever else I ask, what things were gained for me, I have counted loss for Christ. I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and I count them as rubbish, and in the King James it says dung. I count them as dung that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, and being conformed to his death. That I may know him, know Jesus, and the power of his resurrection. There's power in the resurrection life, isn't there? There's power to overcome sin. There's power to walk holy, isn't there? There's power to lay hands on sick people. There's power to cast out demons. The power. And if you look at that word of power, it's dunamis. It's wonder-working, miracle power in the name of Jesus. And it's not the same root word that dynamite comes from, in spite of that's what's been taught. Because there was no dynamite when this was written. But that's powerful. So, he has given us everything we need to live godly in Christ Jesus, hasn't he? He has given us everything we need to be victorious, hasn't he? And the only thing that will keep you away from the best God has got for you is pride. Because God, I was just so blown away at that funeral the other day because I preached a lot of funerals. And I think only two or three times I've actually had people stand up. Because that takes a lot of, I don't let you off easy. I don't let you close your eyes and wiggle your finger. Yes, yes, I see you. Yes, 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 yes. They raised their hands and I said, now y'all that raised your hands, you stand up. Don't be ashamed of him. And they stood up unashamed. I'm like, wow, this is incredible. So I pray that they will get plugged in and they will get so on fire for Jesus that they won't just fade away, that God will do something incredible. But I'm telling you what, there's a generation, there's people that are going to rise up in these last days that aren't going to need that soft little, just wiggle your finger at me, altar call. They're going to get up and they're going to boldly take a stand for Jesus. You know, there's something about Mary. When you take a stand, little Mary, that don't mean you're big Mary. Little Mary. Oh, you're getting red. I love it. Oh! Well, I don't even know where I was going. I just flew away. Do what? Taking a stand. Yeah, there is. I have decided to follow Jesus. You know, when you take a stand, when you become a, when you get sworn into a club or something, right? You've got lots of clubs, you have to make these oaths. And I'm not going to call out any, but my dad was part of one where you had to make oaths. You had to swear by your life. You had to swear that if I tell these secrets that my bowels will be cut out and thrown over my right shoulder and burn on the beach at sunset. You think I'm making this up? These oaths were so powerful, you know what? They don't tell nobody nothing. So an oath like that, which is God says, don't swear by your, help me, Jesus, don't swear by your head or by your, it said, you know, oath won't make, don't do oaths. The Bible says, don't do oaths. Don't do oaths. Oaths to man are bad. Oaths to God are like, God, I surrender to you, Jesus. Lord, take my life, wash over me in your blood. I will follow you all the days of my life. There is something about saying, I will to God. And that's a powerful thing. But not to man, but to God. So when you take a stand, that's what water baptism, praise God, it does a whole lot of things, young lady. It cuts off your past. It cuts off your past, and the enemy can't bring it up. I think it's like it was compared to when the bodies were washing up on the shore. When the Pharaoh's army got drowned, the bodies washed up on the shore. And it said that was a picture of baptism. The old man's dead. The other people were rejoicing, weren't they? What were they doing? I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and rider thrown into the sea. It wasn't a funeral dirge. It was a celebration. So this baptism is going to be a celebration. It's not going to be a funeral dirge. When you come out of the water, the power of God's going to hit you so strong, you're going to have to be helped out. I just really believe the fire of God's going to hit in this baptismal in Jesus' name. Yes, clap, that's good. Woo! What do you think Jesus felt like when he came up out of the water and something like a dove? And everybody's going, oh, isn't that sweet? They're like, whoa. They heard thunder. So God is well pleased, right? This is my son in whom I am well pleased. If you have followed Jesus, if you've given your life to him, he is well pleased with you, and he has more for you than you can ever comprehend. So let's stand up. I know I kind of rambled a little bit today, but I hope you got an inspiration to finish the race. Some of y'all been walking a long time through some deserts, haven't you? Put on that ministry CD I was playing earlier. Okay, so you realize God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son so that if you would just believe, trust in, adhere to, follow him, you will not perish but have everlasting life. If that's you, if you've never made that decision or that decision has become weak because of compromise, come on up here and get a fresh touch from Jesus. Come on, put that on, brother. Get a fresh touch from Jesus right now. Recommit yourself to him in Jesus' name. Recommit yourself to him in Jesus' name. Yeah, get on up there, brother. I love to see young people do that. It's harder for young people to do that. So karabasita bakora basia. Come on, man. Let's say you made a decision for him a long time ago, but it's faded and it's weak. God didn't forget about it, but you forgot about it. Come on up here and let God recharge you, re-empower you, reassure you of who you are in him, right? Who you are in him. Who are you in him? Come on. You are more than a conqueror. If you've been walking around defeated, then God's not working in you the way he wants to. Come on up here. Depression, go in Jesus' name. Depression, go in Jesus' name. Depression, go in Jesus' name. Where's Nina? Nina, come here. Please. Come right up here by this podium. If you're experiencing depression for any reason whatsoever and you want to get rid of it, you don't want to coddle it, you don't want to pet it, and you don't want to make it your pet, you want to get rid of it, come up here right now. Is that y'all? Come on over here with Nina. Or Nina, you can go to them. Come on over there so they don't have to walk. Buster, get up there with them, would you? Depression will kill you. Come on. It's called a spirit of heaviness. Satan counterfeits everything God has. When you get slain in the spirit, you feel that heaviness. You feel that presence. That's a good heaviness. In Jesus' name. Come on, no matter what it is. But is that y'all? Is that what you want prayer for? And I don't want nobody to get out of their seat because I don't want to embarrass nobody. You don't have to take a stand for this, but there's a spirit of lust that flows heavier this time of year than any other because it's a winter solstice, and the demons and the witches and the Satanists, they captivate people's hearts through lust. So right now, just start repenting of any thoughts, even dreams. You say, I can't control my dreams. God can. God, I thank you for godly dreams. I come against lustful dreams right now that have planted things in people's spirits that don't need to be there in Jesus' name, God. Wash me, Jesus. Wash me, Jesus. Fresh washer. Washer, Jesus. Wash me, Jesus. Wash me, Jesus. Mighty God. Mighty God. Wash me, Jesus. Wash me in your blood, Jesus. Wash me in your blood. Seal me in your oil of anointing, God. Oh, Jesus, mighty God, mighty God.